False prophets, fake followers, and questioning God's character, all found in Micah chapter 2. So let's study the scriptures together. Now, in our previous video through verses 1 through 5, we talked about how God hates premeditated sin, most especially in the context of Micah chapter 2, the premeditated oppression of God's people. He can't stand it. And so at the end of verse numbers 4 and 5, we see that God is about to exchange the portion of my people. He removes it from me to the faithless one. He apportions our fields. So God hates sin. God is just. And so as the kingdoms of Israel and Judah are turning against the covenant that they had with God, God is exchanging, removing, and apportioning. For you and I, a simple message of inspiration and application is that God can exchange it, God can remove it, and God can apportion it. In other words, God can switch what you have, God can remove something from you, and God can equally give something to you or someone else because it's all His to begin with. The context of chapter 2 is setting up, here's the problem, here is the sin that is so egregious to God. And Micah, as a prophet of the poor and a champion of the middle class, if you will, is really zeroing in on greedy people, covetous people are oppressing those who have very little, and now they have less and you have more. And it looks like economic prosperity and it looks like a time of peace, but the message that God has given Micah to deliver is judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. And so we pick up, grab your Bible and follow along, starting in verse number 6. The Bible says, "Do not speak dripping out words, they say while dripping out words. But if they do not drip out words concerning these things, dishonor will not be turned back." Pause right here in verse number 6 and see this phrase, dripping out words. Some translations use the word prattle. Some say prophesy. Some say drop. They're all coming back to this root word here that we're seeing in verse number 6. That's almost like secretion or dropping or drivel. In other words, these false prophets now, Micah is turning his attention to them and they're getting upset with Micah and with Isaiah. And they're saying, don't speak dripping out words. Stop this drivel. Stop this word secretion, or the word literally is drop, like droppings, and or maybe mic drop as far as Micah is concerned. But they're saying that the message that the true prophets of God are bringing is contrary to the nature of God, and it's so mean, and it's so, basically, it's their way of saying, stop talking crap. And Micah, who is a master words craftsman, surprisingly enough, is a little sarcastic here, and he says, they're saying, do not speak crap, dripping out words, they say while dripping out words. He said, they're saying, come on, cut the crap while all that's coming out of their mouth are droppings, secretions, and pointless drivel. The false prophets are saying, if they do not drip out words concerning these things, dishonor will not be turned back. In other words, these false prophets were so bothered by, maybe even convicted by, but definitely their pocketbooks and popularity are affected by the true message that God's prophets are bringing. And so they want it to stop. So what they do is they tell the people, if these prophets like Micah and Isaiah don't stop with all of this mean, hateful preaching that they're doing, then well, dishonor will not be turned back. Nothing's going to change. Things are going to get worse. And so what we need to do is we need to shut them up. These are false prophets, and I see such a connection between what's happening in Micah's day and what's happening in our day today, that false prophets get really irritated by a strong, bold, clear, thus saith the Lord type message. And they're like, that's so much negativity, and we don't want to talk about that. It's drivel, it's crap, they say while speaking crap. it's funny that the false prophets who are like, we shouldn't call out other preachers, we shouldn't really talk about sin, are the ones who are always calling out bold preachers and, well, sinning. These false prophets, along with the greedy people that are oppressing others, are complaining that these things that Micah is preaching shouldn't be said. They're too negative, or at best, that all of that stuff is just kind of reserved for the future. We know something like that could happen, but it's going to happen someday. And so Micah continues in verse number 7. Is it being said, O house of Jacob? Is the spirit of Yahweh impatient? Are these his deeds? Do not my words, speaking of God's word, do not my words do good to the one who walks uprightly? There's a lot of questions being asked in verse number 7, but they're being asked intentionally. You don't want to miss it. He says, is it being said, O house of Jacob? This is interesting. House of Jacob. Do a study into the beautiful implications of that. And sometimes the indictment of that statement. But these are people that are claiming the name House of Jacob who are acting like anything but. They're living in a totally different way. So basically, the prophet is saying, you're House of Jacob in name only. We've got a lot of people who are Christians today in name only, and there are things in the political sphere where you're this in name only, you're that in name only, and that's the indictment that Micah is bringing here. Is it being said? Are these prophets really saying? Are you really believing? First of all, you're the house of Jacob, but you're not living like it. You're not acting like it. What is it being said? Is the spirit of Yahweh impatient? Has his spirit grown short? Is he shortened? Here are the things that the false prophets are saying as Micah and men like Isaiah and Hosea and Amos are delivering the word of God. They're like, no, the God, they're really focusing in on the promised blessings of God. And so when the true prophets are pronouncing judgment's coming, repent, turn back, don't go that way, they're like, God is love, and God has promised us blessing, and he gave to us this land. It's not so much that the most dangerous prophets are denying the existence of God. There's danger in that, but I think the most dangerous thing to the people of God in Micah's day, and quite possibly the most toxic and lethal thing to the church of God in our day, is the prophets, or are the prophets who aren't denying God's existence, they're just refuting the other side of God's character. God does promise blessing, but he also promises judgment. The balance there is perfectly equal. God is love, and God is just, and he's both all the time at the same time. And these prophets are saying in verse number 7, is the spirit of Yahweh impatient? And Mike is going, is this your speech? Really? Is this what's being said? Is this what God is doing? That's what the false prophets are asking. Come on, this guy Micah, he's saying that judgment's coming, and is that really what God is doing? And as the judgment begins to come, these false prophets want to maintain their popularity and their money. So they're like, God's not doing this. God would never. Yahweh would never. And Micah is zeroing in on, yes, he would. You're neglecting the word of God when you only speak one side of it. In fact, to only give half of the truth is actually to preach a lie. And that's where so many false prophets are in our day. They're only presenting half the truth as if it's the whole. And so people are buying into this form of Christianity that's not actually genuine conversion or salvation. It's void of the Holy Spirit because it's all blessing. It's all positivity. It's all everything's looking up. And the message Mike is bringing in this context is God's word is good to those who follow it, but it is damning to those who reject it. And I'm just looking at my notes in verse number 7, it appears to me that the false prophets, along with the greedy oppressors of their day, are almost like blaming God for what's going on. It's like God's going to bless the righteous. And so when judgment is coming, it's like, would God really do this? Are these God's deeds? Would God, I mean, and so it becomes this like, would God, like, God's not really like that, is he? Or that's never going to happen because God wouldn't. And both sides of that spectrum come from the same root lie that everything is going to be positive and you can live whatever way that you want. Micah continues in verse number 8. Notice, and recently, that's important to note, this isn't some like God's just now revisiting something that happened a long time ago. No, this is something that's happening right now. And recently, my people have arisen as an enemy. You strip the robe off the garment from unsuspecting passersby, from those returned from war. Recently, God's people have become the enemy of God's people. You've become an enemy against God when you become an enemy against those who God loves. There's a law that says that creditors cannot keep the robe, the outer garment, of a person at night as it begins to get cold. They have to return it to them so that person doesn't suffer. And then the debtor returns the robe in the morning until they can work to pay it off and get their robe back. It was kind of their Jewish economy. But these people are stripping the robe off the garment from unsuspecting people. They are robbing those who are returned from war. That word is not just soldiers who are coming back from fighting. It's talking about those who've returned from it. Maybe people who are refugees in Judah coming from Israel to get away from the war that the Assyrians are going to be waging. Maybe it's people who have a propensity for peace and they don't want anything to do with fighting. They're simple, they're kind, they're maybe a little gullible, and greedy people, oppressive people, are taking advantage of them. They're unsuspecting. Their propensity is for peace, and yet they're being, well, taken advantage of by these oppressors, and the false prophets are benefiting from it. In fact, they may be even helping it. Verse number 9, the women of my people you drive out, each one from her pleasant house. From her infants you take my splendor forever. See, God had given specific tracts of land to specific families to be an inheritance forever. But these greedy people and these false prophets who are complicit with the sin are driving widows out of their houses. The people they're supposed to be caring for, they're actually taking advantage of, and they're forcibly pushing them out. They can't live on their own now. They're robbing the inheritance of their young children. Somebody say problem. This is an issue. They're not fulfilling the ministry that God had called them to do. They're not following the law that God had established. Even the New Testament says true religion and undefiled before God is this. Many things. One primary, caring for the widows. We as a church in 2022 need to get back to that. Look at verse number 10. Arise and go. This is Micah looking at those prophets and saying, get out, for this is no place of rest because of the uncleanness that wreaks destruction, a painful destruction. There's a little bit of sarcasm here as Micah looks at these false prophets and says, get out. You need to go. The sarcasm is like, get out while you still can because destruction's coming. But the literal translation here is Canaan was given to Israel, the land of Canaan, that we now know just as the land of Israel. This property was given to these people as a place of rest and security and safety and prosperity and blessing for as long as they followed God. But this isn't your place of rest. You need to go. Your punishment for hurting people is banishment from this place. This is not your rest. It doesn't belong to you because you're causing people to turn away from what God has called them to do. Verse number 11, if a man walking after wind and lying, had acted falsely and said, I will speak, dripping out words to you concerning wine and liquor. He would be the one who drips out words as a spokesman to this people. Wind here is a picture of vain worthlessness. It's something that blows in and blows out, and it shifts directions, and it's always changing. Here's a man who is walking into the wind and lying. He's just straight up lying to people. He's prophesying of, verse number 11, wine and liquor, basically temporal blessings. You can have everything you want now, best life now, blessings now, great things now. It's going to be prosperity now. It's a message of peace and safety that people are buying into, and sudden destruction is on the way. But Micah here is levying an accusation against the false prophets and against the greedy people, but also against the general populace who are listening to and responsive to the prattle, the dripping words, the mouth secretions, the droppings that are coming out of these false prophets' mouths, because it's what they fantasize about. All these false prophets are delivering are fantasies of blessings and prosperity, when what God has called us to is faithfulness. And then he will provide for all of our needs according to his riches in glory. These fantasies blow like the wind, and they are lies. A man walking into the wind is somebody who is moved about rather than being intentionally led by the Spirit, one step at a time. So as we journey through Micah chapter 2, verses 6 through 11 today, two more verses coming in the next video, but our questions today, our journal these and pray on these are this: why do you listen to the people that you listen to? What is it about them that is attractional to you? Are they telling you the truth and it sometimes hurts? Or do I listen to the people I listen to because I like what they say and it makes me feel good? Israel found themselves in some trouble when they listened to the wrong people for the wrong reasons. Question number two: are you a follower of Yahweh? Are you a Christian in name only? Or are you actually a follower, a keeper of his law, and a maker of peace, and a servant of God, and one filled with faith, led by the Holy Spirit? What are you really? Are you a Christian, or are you a Christian in name only? Question number three: are you questioning God, or are you following him? The instructions of God don't always make sense, and they certainly are not often convenient. And the Mosaic law, the old covenant that these in Micah's day should be following, wasn't always easy. It wasn't always convenient, not even always simple or fun. But the blessings on the other side were always promised, and God always delivered. But they find themselves here questioning, is that really God's nature? Would God really do that? Is that really the truth? And in truth, those types of questions have been Satan's MO since the Garden of Eden. Did God really say that? So question for you: are you spending all your time questioning God, or are you just faithfully following him? In other words, do you find the MO of your Christian life being one of excuses or execution? Is it like a, I will when, I didn't because, or is it a, I will win and I do this because my God is God. My King is the King of Kings. He's the Lord of my life, and he's a wonderful and a merciful and a just, promise-keeping Savior. Micah chapter 2, verses 6 through 11. We'll see you again soon for verses 12 and 13.